popular demand.
The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Rick Costello and Jordan Scardetta with you after our week off. The NBL One West Radio Show is back as we head into round 10. Round 9 across the weekend. Plenty of big comebacks, big shots, big dunks. It's all been happening. Welcome along, Jordan Scardetta.
Thank you, Brett, for having me once again. And yeah, big weekend across the board for a lot of reasons. And yeah, the bye always seems to refresh everyone a little bit. We all have that bit more energy as we head into the second half of the year.
Well, there were supposed to be so many doubleheaders across the weekend. Many of those got away, but of course, the match on Friday night at the Herb Graham for the women's and the men's had to be cancelled, of course, because of that strange event.
Yeah, a bit of smoke in the building. Yes, a fire at Herb Graham, and the first I sort of caught wind of it was when I turned on KO expecting to see the game at Herb Graham, right. And it turned out it was a Bendat, and last minute switch for that one. And yes, all games postponed across the weekend as there were some issues with a fire in the building. So hopefully that's not a long term problem and that it can get solved relatively quickly, and that this coming weekend it'll be back to business as usual. But there's just a bit of a headache at Basketball WA with one game to reschedule.
Yeah, I do hear they may be looking at getting it away this Friday, so we'll see how the scheduling sort of comes with that. I was down at Bendat as they were making the changes and getting ready for KO, so that's how it came to light. There I had the joy of catching three games across the weekend. I saw the Joondalup and Hawks game on the Friday, then I saw the Wolves home game on the Saturday night, and then I travelled down to Mandurah for the Sunday game. Didn't quite make it in time for the girls, but did manage to see the men's game there, the Magic getting up over the Hawks on the Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and that's a big result for the Mandurah Magic as well. We can touch on that when we review round 9 of action soon, but yeah, that's a big weekend. I only managed to get to the one. I've got other work commitments that pulled me away on Sunday and then Friday night as well, but I got to get up the top of the hill to watch the Eastern Suns record a victory, and we get to chat to their captain a little bit later on.
Yeah, plenty of guests. Carl Aylett, of course, from the Suns. We'll be chatting with Caitlin Jones from the Lightning after their great win in the women's, and of course we couldn't really go past Marcus Wong. Mm. His team is undefeated. Two big wins on the weekend. The Joondalup Wolves women are rolling.
Yeah, with the Buccaneers losing on Sunday in the men's competition to Coburn, yeah, it meant that they're the only unbeaten team in the NBL One West competition across the women's and men's, and got an outstanding record. And they're looking to go one better, obviously, than they did last year. Vanquished grand finalists last year. And you'll hear in our chat that, Marcus Wong very, very determined to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Round 10 is, of course, Mental Health Round in partnership with Lifeline, so we'll be touching on that a little bit later on as well. We're also going to give you some news before the hour is out about the wildcard series. Now, I didn't really entirely understand the significance of this wildcard series when it was first launched. We've got a little bit more information on that, and hopefully we'll be able to make some sense of it as well.
Yeah, just a tease, I guess, that it is a lot more significant than you may realise. The benefits from that wildcard series could be enormous for some clubs.
We'll be back on the other side of this for all of your round 9 roundups. And I can tell you this, there was a 15-point comeback in the fourth quarter for one of the games. More to come on the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show, with all of your basketball roundups and reviews. This time taking a look at round 9 action, the weekend that was. Plenty of double headers, even amongst that fire that we spoke of a little bit earlier. Plenty of games to get around. The one for me and the one that I was at was Saturday night. The Joondalup Wolves getting up in dramatic fashion in the fourth quarter over the visiting Coburn Cougars.
Yeah, stunning comeback in that one. And Coburn have been a real good closeout team this year. But Joondalup down 16. They were down 17 late in the third, and it was 16 at three-quarter time. And they just kind of chipped away at it from the eight-minute mark down to the end. And they get the go-ahead two with about 30 seconds to go and just hang on from there. They force the Cougars to foul, get the two free throws, and the Cougars aren't able to close the gap and finish that one up. But it's not just the comeback and, I guess, how important that was in the context of the night that they were 16 points down. It's the fact that they were on the second night of a back-to-back after a really tough game against Perry Lakes the night before. And Coburn's one of those teams that they're going to be battling with for those sort of middle of the top eight kind of spots at the moment. So you look at the standings in the men's competition, and there's four teams on 6 wins and 3 teams on 7 wins that stretch from 3rd to 9th place in the standings. And Coburn's one of those teams on 6 wins, and now Joondalup's one of those teams on 7. So that's what that game means. That's a 2-game swing. That's the difference between Joondalup currently sitting inside the top 4 and Joondalup sitting on the precipice of the top 8.
And look, the Cougars did self-implode a little bit. That 8 points in the fourth quarter, clearly not enough to get the job done.
Yeah, so that's a real lockdown defensive performance against a team that, you know, only a week earlier had put up 120. So, you know, that's, or 2 weeks earlier, I should say. I forget about the bye weekend a little too easily. Had put up 120. So, you know, that's a really solid performance from Joondalup that they just locked it down. And Coburn, yeah, couldn't get across the line in an important game.
I know from the post game from Joondalup, they certainly felt as if they'd put themselves in a position to win on Friday night against the Hawks. If not for some heroic 3-point shooting from the likes of Ryan Smith and AJ Nabensi, they may have got the result. All credit to the Hawks for that win. But they were certainly fired up to make sure that they didn't get 2 losses across the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get too much further on that, by the way, I've got to say the layup from last fortnight that I called a fortnight ago was Perry Lakes to beat you up. Now, I have to say, during the third quarter, I was feeling
a bit nervous.
I was very much sweating it. But some lights out shooting from Perry Lakes late. And they get the job done. And look, Joondalup come out of the weekend 1-1. If you had said that going in, they'd rather 2-0, but 1-1's okay coming out of that weekend against 2 real quality opponents. And Coburn, kind of the same. You know, if you'd said they were going to go in the weekend, come out 1-1, they were going to, you know, yeah, we'd love to be 2-0, but 1-1's okay. Yep. It's just probably the opposite 1-1 to what we thought it would be for Coburn, because they come out and have a quality performance on Sunday and beat the previously unbeaten Geraldton Buccaneers. So the king has been slain. The Geraldton Buccaneers no longer unbeaten.
Well, that's the other big result really in the men's, isn't it? And on the back of that freaky shooting from Carter Skaggs, 8 of 10 from downtown at halftime, they're up by 20 at that point and they managed to sneak out a sort of a single digits win.
And that's exactly what Carter Skaggs can do. Like, he did that against the Redbacks a couple of weeks earlier. He's just absolutely lights out when he wants to be. As soon as he's got those shooting hands going, he is impossible to stop.
In the women's side, we'll speak with Marcus Wong a little bit later on. His Wolves, of course, keeping their unbeaten record intact with 2 wins across the weekend. The Goldfields Giants also got a win against the Perth Redbacks as well. I'd spoken to the Perth Redbacks and expected them to sort of pick things up a little bit, but so far the signs haven't been all positive.
Yeah, so that was one that we both kind of touched on a couple of weeks ago, is maybe the Perth Redbacks are a team that can really make a push in the women's competition, and that's obviously not an ideal start. The trip out to the Goldfields is a tough one, you know, especially if you haven't done it before. It's a long bus ride out there, and you know, when you're not, I guess, acclimatized to that, it can be a bit tricky. But yeah, you know, they got good performances from their big players. Like, Mac Dyer hits 25, Michaela Perini hits 25, Parker Esri, you know, hits 12 points as well in 22.5 minutes of game time, coming in as the new import. 13 rebounds each for Jess Jenkins and Parker Esri, and you sort of put those together and you think, oh well, that's a formula for a Redbacks win. But the support wasn't there, unfortunately. You know, Sinead Hartree, who's had a really good season, young player, is going to have some ups and downs, had a bit of a down game in this one, just 3 points in 12.5 minutes of court time. So you know, she's one who, you know, they have been leaning on her a bit, but you know, the rest of the cast has to be there. Kaona Lee only hits 2 points in the end, and then it's donuts across the board from there, from their bench. So that's got to be a frustrating result for Perth, given where they would like to be pushing up into that top 8. But for Goldfields, yeah, that's a great win. Emma Clastorney hits 26.
And, yeah, big game for her.
Yeah, huge game on that side of things. They'll be very pleased with that. 26 and 12, so a big double-double for Emma Clastorney. And everything looking rosy for the Goldfields on Saturday night, and they'll want to continue that form heading into next weekend.
Now, the world-famous Jordan Scardetta and one fouled out from last fortnight. It's now Perth-wide famous, at least anyway. So what have you got for us? Looking back on round 9, who had your and one and who has fouled out?
Okay, so my and one, and these are both going to come from the same game. It was the game that I was at, so you know, I get a bit more of a look in detail at these games, obviously. But my and one is Mia Jacobs, and we'll chat about her later in our interview with Katie Jones from the Lakeside Lightning. But 18 years old, played for Kalamunda last year, so she's Lakeside Junior, so it's a return home for her to play for the Lightning. But coming up against her old team in Kalamunda, up at Ray Owen, in 23 minutes and 28 seconds, hits 34 points on 12 for 19 shooting, which was ludicrous. She was getting some great looks down low, just baseline drive, baseline drive, baseline drive, back post, brilliant stuff. Like, just, it was a formula that was working, and she was just in a zone, and it kept going for her. 9 for 11 from the free throw line, so she got a lot of opportunities there because she was getting into the dirty areas and working really hard. 9 rebounds, 2 assists as well. That's an incredible stat line in 23 and a half minutes, and was the difference in that game. Her effectiveness in that game was the difference, because the two bigs in that game, in Damblin and Imani Guy, who I'll speak about in a second, were kind of, you know, negating each other to a degree when they were on the court. And so it was that second wave to step up playing down low. Mia Jacobs was unbelievable. So she gets my end one for the week.
Well, now the fouled out, is it going to be a literal fouled out?
It is going to be a literal
okay,
fouled out.
Okay, I thought you might go there.
And it is. It's Imani Guy who's going to get my fouled out. And it's not at her directly. There was, circumstances, I guess beyond her control a little bit that saw her fouled out of the game. It was, a tricky one for her, but, it's a foul out in the sense of you think back on it and you go, damn it, because it's first game, big name import coming across, holds all sorts of records in college ball in the States where she played. Sits second all time in scoring, third all time in rebounding, thousands of points, ridiculous record. Comes over and in the first game just gets into foul trouble really early and clearly has a bit of a difficult time adjusting to the way the game was called. Only ends up playing around 13 odd minutes, Imani Guy, and then he's fouled out sort of midway through the third quarter. So my foul out's going to be a literal foul out, because we were very excited about this matchup of the two new bigs for each of these teams who are really trying to resurrect their seasons, and Imani Guy was just on the wrong end of a couple of calls that sort of didn't fall her way. And it's not at Imani Guy, it's just at when you come in as an import, you really want to create an impression, and it just didn't happen.
I can't imagine it's the fastest foul out of all time. Someone must have done it faster, but it's probably the fastest foul out on debut or something like that, I reckon.
Potentially, yeah.
She's probably got a new record of some sort, for better or worse.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal for her that racked up the numbers quite quickly. But I mean, on a positive side, she's going to be a huge presence for that Eastern Suns side. And I feel like having her in the post, it's the area that they've lacked in big time this year. And they'll probably hurt by the fact that Eleanor Hartle didn't play on the weekend as well. She'd be the backup person to go into that position. As soon as Imani Guy was off the court, they were clearly outmuscled and outsized, the Suns. But if she can get through a full 40 minutes and be available when the final buzzer goes to be played on court, then she'll be a huge impact player for the Suns.
Coming up, we're still going to talk about the upcoming Mental Health Round 10 in the NBL 1 West. And after this, we'll be chatting with Wolves women's head coach Marcus Wong on the NBL 1 West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL 1 West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL 1 West radio show.
Welcome back. It's the NBL 1 West radio show. Brett Costello and Jordan Scardetta with you. And as promised, we're now joined on the line by the Joondalup Wolves women's head coach, Marcus Wong, after a solid couple of wins across the weekend and keeping that unbeaten record intact. Welcome along, Marcus.
Thanks, guys. It's great to be here.
Well, you're the only team now across the men's and the women's that remains unbeaten. Congratulations, firstly.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's a good position to be in at the halfway point of the season.
Look, you certainly can't complain. And look, when you landed the role there at Joondalup, some people might have thought it was a sort of an easy task. You'd taken on a team that had already got to the grand final. But I know there was quite a lot of retooling and kind of rebuilding there as well with some of the losses that you had across the off-season. Can you talk us through your strategy and the journey so far?
Yeah, sure. I mean, definitely when I stepped off the plane in February, we went to this season with the sort of impression, I guess, that it'd be a rebuilding year for the Wolves with so many player changes that they had in the off season, and we've been really lucky that the girls have stepped up, and players that sort of, I guess, haven't necessarily played or had as big a roles in the past have really come this season and really stepped up and playing really important roles with us and having really good seasons. So we just approach the season as all coaches, I guess, and take it week by week and see what happens. And we've been really lucky that we've just strung some really good basketball together to start the season.
For people who didn't know your coaching background, sort of what's been your story in terms of getting to this point?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been assistant coach at Adelaide Lightning in the WNBL for about 5 or 6 years there. I coached at this level back in Adelaide for 9 years. So yeah, this opportunity to come to Perth was just something a bit different, a different challenge, and a city that I haven't spent a lot of time in. So it gives me a chance to come over and have a look around as well. So it was an exciting challenge to take on, and been really enjoying it so far.
Marcus, Brett talked about the turnover of players at the start, and you sort of touched on it as a rebuilding year. You obviously had some direct experience with Tej Morrell in the NBL 1 Central.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've coached against Tej in Adelaide. So Tej actually signed here at the Wolves before me. So Tej signed back in September last year. She was, I think, one of the first or the first player to sign for the season. So she'd already been here, and obviously her husband, David, being the men's coach and the coaching director at the club. So she'd already been here. So, I mean, it's nice to work with her and someone I've known from Adelaide, and obviously coaching against her rather than having her on my team. So, she's been great. And obviously, you know, taking a leader from, or a league MVP from Adelaide always helps. She's had to adjust a little bit this year, I think, just in playing bigger bodies and more physicality than what she's had in Adelaide before. And I think she's adjusted really well to that. And you're sort of seeing some dominant performances from her.
I was fortunate to see your team on both Friday and Saturday night across the weekend. Certainly a couple of impressive wins. A player that really grabbed my eye and certainly impressed me with her skill set was Robbie Ryan. Now, I don't know whether you've seen much of one of our local legends, Stacey Barr, of the league here, but her game style really reminds me quite a bit of Stacey Barr.
Yeah, I mean, we played against Stacey and she's tough. I mean, she has the ability to shoot the ball from range and really get volume shots up and shoot really well. So, she was definitely tough when we played against them. But Robbie's, you're always sort of a bit hit and miss sometimes with imports. You never really know what you're going to get until they're out here and they're playing. And we've been really lucky that, you know, Robbie's delivered on the areas that we were trying to cover when we brought her out. And we wanted sort of a backup point, a combo guard that could shoot the three and just put some pressure on teams from collapsing inside the paint on Tej and that. So, she's delivered on everything we wanted from her, and you know, she's also a great defender. We've been really lucky, and she's fitted into the team and the culture really well.
You talked about hopping off the plane in February and getting to work with the team, and that there's players that have kind of stepped up from a local perspective that has put you in the position that you're in right now. What was that? Tell us through what that first week was like. Given that the team had gone through a lot of turnover, there's probably players that are feeling a little less secure of their position, given a new coaching staff and you're coming in brand new. Talk us through what that first couple of weeks was like and how you got to, I guess, get the best out of those players that have been performing so well for you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's definitely daunting that first week. You sort of step into a new club and people you don't know, and obviously we've got to build relationships with those players that they have trust in us or me, and obviously I have trust in them. And you know, I think it was a lot of us defining culture, defining what everyone's roles were and how we wanted to be seen off and on the floor. So I guess we've done a lot of work on sort of how we approach it culture-wise and the rules and sort of our values that we see as a team, and that's sort of bringing us together, I think, on and off the floor. And players like Tia, who has been fantastic this season. Again, she's a good defender. We often send her to the team's best guard. But at the same time, her points production has come up, which has been great. Mishaya Parker-Williams, I think she's having an outstanding season. And, you know, it's just having confidence in those types of players to say, well, you know, we back you. And I think they're just playing free and enjoying themselves. And I think that's showing in their performances on game night.
Looks like you've got a double header again this weekend, taking on the Perth Redbacks and then also the Southwest Slammers. I know it's the old one game at a time adage when it comes to that unbeaten record, but there'd be a couple of games you'd certainly be looking to get across this weekend.
Yeah, it's the double headers are always tough because, I mean, we approach it that the Friday night game is the focus for the week, and we did the same last week, is that that's what we focus on during training, that's what we focus on with our scout. And once that game's out of the way, then we start talking about Saturday night. You know, we don't do any scout for Saturday night during the week. We do it all after the game on Friday. And that's regardless of who we're playing. We did the same with Coburn this week. So, you know, it is a challenging time because we don't want to lose focus of the game ahead and get the first one done. But you know, any time you back it up, it's a challenge no matter who you're playing. I mean, it's fatigue sets in, and obviously we've got the drive down to Bunbury on Saturday as well. So it's really important that what we do, as we did last week, our recovery on Friday night, we give the girls specific things that they need to get done after the game and how they recover. To make sure that we can back up for a double header, and this comp's pretty tough. I don't think you walk into any game thinking you know, you're just going to win on any night. You've got to bring it every week to make sure you get across the line.
So you talk about bringing it every week, Marcus. How do you, when you've got a team that's been so successful, you know, as far as wins and losses goes over the last couple of years, and obviously you're sitting undefeated on top at the moment, and then you've got a Saturday night matchup on the road against the South West Slammers, who have one win for the year and sort of, you know, one of the newcomers to the competition, and their results haven't been going their way. How do you motivate a team? How do you stop that from being like a game where there could be a potential lapse? Like, what do you, is there anything you feel like you have to say to the players or a way to motivate them for a game that could potentially be one that, you know, maybe the intensity slips a little?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that it's always a challenge, you know, and I think that the comp being tight, you know, that it's not always going to be easy, and they've got quality players like Alex Albertoni and Tylene Carter, and, you know, they're not an unreasonable team. So, you know, you've got to, I think our players are, you know, the feel amongst the group is every time they step on the floor, they approach it like they would every game, no matter who they're playing, whether they're playing a team that's sitting on top or some team that's sitting down the bottom of the ladder. You know, we approach it the same way, and we set our goals the same way, and, you know, we've got to make sure that we achieve what we set before the game, and we do that each and every game, I guess, and, you know, we don't approach it any differently to what we would, no matter who we're playing.
Marcus Wong, the head coach of the Joondalup Women Wolves, thanks so much for your time on this week's edition of the NBL One West Radio Show.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate it, and good luck for the rest of the season and achieving that. Hopefully, you know, maybe we'll speak to you at the end of the year about an unbeaten record. What do you reckon?
Oh, look, I mean, hopefully, but yeah, I mean, I think there's a fair chance we lose a couple of games before the end of the
You'd rather take that one win at the end of the year, wouldn't you? Just win that last game on the last weekend.
Exactly. Appreciate it. Thanks very much, Marcus.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Okay. Thank you, mate. Have a good one. Bye.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
NBL One West Radio Show, welcome back. It's your favourite NBL One West player's favourite radio show. Looking ahead towards round 10 now in the NBL One West, and of course, it's Mental Health Round in partnership with Lifeline. It'll take place across all of the NBL One conferences, in fact, so it's a nationwide initiative across this weekend from the 17th to the 19th. I guess there's a chance for everyone to get involved in this, Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely there is. And yeah, we'll see the players getting involved. They'll be wearing the orange socks, the Lifeline orange socks. We saw it last year and we'll see it again this year. Fans and supporters and everyone involved can buy a pair of those orange Lifeline socks. You can join the push-up challenge, or you can simply donate to the cause as well. And yeah, it's a great initiative from NBL One for everyone to get around. And yeah, it's so important that we never lose focus on mental health and the impact it can have on young people. What's the stat? It's the number one killer of Australians between 15 and 44 years of age. So it's a huge issue, and we can never stop shining a light on it, because it's all of those deaths that are caused, you know, could potentially be prevented, and this is a round that really points people in the right direction.
I'll shout out the texting line for people who may be interested to get involved and donate to Lifeline. You just have to text NBL1 to the following number, 0488 22250. Get your pen ready and write this down, 0488 22250, and you'll see those orange socks across round 10, and we've got plenty of action in round 10 as well. Some great games to look out for.
Yeah, certainly do. Sort of combed through them and picked a game of the week for each of the competitions. So in the women's, we've got Mandurah versus Cockburn is what I've picked as game of the week. So that's Friday night at 6:30. It's fourth versus fifth. So it's super important for ladder positioning for those two teams. Coburn are a team that I've seen a couple of times and feel like that they are a legitimate top four threat, but they would want to be getting the job done on the road in this one to make sure whoever wins this one puts some separation between themselves and the other four teams in the top eight. So it's sort of one of those two-game swing sort of games that we chatted about with the Coburn men's team and Joondalup up not long ago. But this time they travel down the highway to take on Mandurah, and that's my game of the week in the women's competition. In the men's, it's also a Friday night game, but this should be a beauty. Joondalup Wolves against the Perth Redbacks. Now, the Redbacks, put up a solid performance out in the Goldfields, get the win. Their stars come to play. Lewis Timms hits 20+. Tevin Jackson hits 20+. And Zach Katorna hits 20+ as well. They show up in a big way. They get the win out at the Goldfields. We talked about how tough that road trip can be for Perth-based sides. And they'll come back and be up and about. And they're sitting in ninth with 6 wins. So they're outside the top eight with a positive win percentage, with a positive win differential. Joondalup have only one more win than them. They've got the 7 wins. They're sitting in fourth. So that's how tight this is. This is a game that, this isn't just, for position inside the top eight. This is for positions to get into the top eight, because you feel like it's now a race in 10 in the men's competition for those 8 spots. Perth don't want to be on the outside looking in. Preliminary finalists last year, such a great year. They've had some incredible games this year where their offense has just exploded and been unstoppable. They want to see more of that week in, week out. So that's going to be my game of the round. It'll be brilliant to watch Friday night. Get around it. Joondalup versus Perth.
Well, all of those fixtures are available, of course, at nbl1.com.au, or download the brand new NBL1 app. Now, your layup and air ball. Who's going to get the job done and who's going to shoot the air ball this weekend?
Okay, so my layup for the week, I'm going to be up the hill in Kalamunda calling this one the Rockingham Flames and the Kalamunda Eastern Sun. So it's the battle of the furnace versus the hothouse, I guess. So those two, they'll be bringing the heat up the hill, and gee, don't they need it in the middle of winter up the hill. It gets bitterly cold up there in Les Murdy, calling those games. That's double jacket territory. But I'm going to go in this one, Marty Nelson to hit 30+.
Okay.
In that game. He's been stunning throughout the year. I think he's a guy who can really light it up there. I think they do tend to give up some chances on the perimeter. The Suns, they did a lot against the Lightning on the weekend, and I feel like that's a guy who can really absolutely get going for the Flames. And if he can start shooting the three ball, Marty Nelson, it's going to be a problem.
And look out if you're trailing him on the fast break. I assume you saw the footage of his yes, dunk on the poor old Eagles.
Yes, I did. And that's just another element that he can bring, isn't it? Supreme athlete, Marty Nelson. So yeah, that's... he will be a problem for the Suns anyway, and Carl Aylett will chat about that.
More than the layup, he's maybe got the dunk for this coming weekend.
Absolutely.
So who's on the air ball, though?
That's my layup. The air ball this weekend, I think it's going to be a real tough weekend for the South West Slammers. Joondalup will be on the second night of back-to-backs, going down to the Eaton Rec Centre and going down there, but... In the women's competition, it's top versus bottom, and you listen to Marcus Wong chat about that team, and he really seems to have a ruthless mentality in that team. So this is not going to be one of those games where the top team comes in and, it's kind of a fun trip down the highway. Yeah, we get to get out of the city and go down to Bunbury and have some fun, and, we'll just get this pesky game of basketball out the way and then, go have some fun on a Saturday night. No, they're going to be ruthless. They're very professional outfit, the Joondalup Wolves, so... Learn your lessons tonight, and they will be really tough lessons. But yeah, my air ball for the week will be the South West Slammers. They're going to have a real, real tough one.
We're still going to take the time to talk to 21-year-old Caitlin Jones out of the Lakeside Lightning. And after this, Carl Aylett will join us from the Kalamunda Eastern Suns here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
It's the NBL One West radio show. Jordan Scardetta and Brett Costello with you. And we're joined on the line this time by Kalamunda Suns captain Carl Aylett after a big win on the weekend. How are you doing?
Yeah, gents. really, really good. Just, yeah, happy to be on the show. And as you alluded to before, just really happy to get a really good win on the weekend.
And you doubled your amount of wins for season 2022 with that one, two under your belt. And I did want to ask you, obviously, I shared the mic with Ben Ettridge last season on the NBL One West radio show, and he's gone sort of from assistant coach there and then progressed back into a head coaching role with where he's got plenty of experience from his days in Wanneroo and Joondalup, of course. But I wanted to get your thoughts on Ben as a coach and how things have kind of transitioned under his regime.
Yeah, well, look, Ben's obviously very different to the two previous coaches I've had in Michael Clark and Mark Utley, but Ben brings a real professional attitude and regime to the way that he wants us to do things. And, you know, I think when you look at his previous record in terms of coaching, you know, you can't argue with the results. I mean, I used to get really quite frustrated playing his Joondalup teams and, you know, how disciplined and well-rounded those teams were in everything that they did. They didn't particularly just bringing out imports that would come in and blow you off the court. You know, it was all the local guys, the Deb Salinas, Rob Huntington, Reece Maxwell, you know, those sorts of guys were often the guys that would go on runs and break your back and those sorts of things. So, yeah, I was very, very surprised when he agreed to be the assistant last year, but really happy that someone of sort of that calibre has come up to the club, and really happy with him coming forward as our head coach for this year.
Well, some of the names that you mentioned have actually become your teammates, of course, now is the obvious segue from that. So guys like Seb Salinas, although, you know, maybe not paying bulk minutes now, I think that their contribution is probably invaluable around the club.
Yeah, I think it's probably an element that we've been missing for a number of years now. It's just veterans to lean on. I mean, on and off the court, they obviously provide different things, but just on the court, just being stable, level-headed, you know, they always seem to make the right decisions, and just sort of the way they go about it at practice, I think that's really good for us. I think you can't particularly rush these things, especially in this league with how structured everything is, I suppose. Having guys that have sort of been there and done that, you know, it definitely helps fast-track our young core and our development going forward. So, yeah, I can't really put into words what those guys have done for us, and, you know, it's only been 11 or 12 games. So really excited to see what the rest of the season holds for us as a group.
Carl, Jordan Scudder, a great win on the weekend. Congratulations with that. Be honest, we've got an over-the-top provider now for our highlights and things for NBL One. All right, that does it nationwide. Little 10-second clip at the end of the third quarter. How many times have you replayed it? How many people have you forwarded it to? And do you have it saved on your phone?
To answer your question, hopefully in order, I've watched it a couple of times. I'm going to be honest with you about it. That was pretty cool little moment in front of my home crowd to sort of get everyone amped up like that. My parents aren't incredibly good with technology, so I'm going to say that I forwarded it to them for those purposes and not my own. And yes, guilty as charged. I do have that one saved on my phone, and I may have watched it a couple of times with all the work boys today.
Now, for anyone who hasn't seen this footage, I'm going to try and break it down, because the clock's running out. There's not you've got an open court in front of you. There's no time to go all the way in for the layup. You've pulled up for this floating type of three-pointer from the top of the keyway, and it's nothing but net.
Yeah. Look, that's to be fair, that's probably exactly how I would describe it myself. As I gained possession of the ball, I had a bit of a glance at the shot clock, and I was like, oh, yeah, I really don't have a lot of time to get anything done with this. And it was a little bit of improv. I definitely do practice the floater, or the runner, as some people like to call it. But, yeah, I practice it from a whole lot closer than there. So I thought I'll try and get it up. And, yeah, if it's long, hopefully it goes in off the backboard. And I figure if it's short, it really doesn't matter, because Lakeside didn't get a chance to score at the end of the quarter. And, yeah, I was just really, really lucky that one went down.
Talk to us about your captaincy role, Carl, because obviously that's evolved. You were a consistent starter last year. Your role's changed a little bit this year. We talked about the guys that have come into the team and are making a difference in that way. So now you're captaining from the bench. How does that change your, I guess, the way you captain the club?
I think it's just really important to realise and understand within yourself that you can impact games in a variety of different ways. You know, we try and sort of preach that to everyone. You know, 1 through 15, all of the young guys coming through. So, yeah, was sort of starting last year, was definitely scoring a bit more, taking a few more shots. I was a bit more of a focal point. But this year, you know, we needed a little bit of energy from that bench unit. You know, a little bit of scoring off the bench and that sort of stuff, which I'm definitely used to. But you know, we needed a little bit of a defensive spark, sort of when our guards come out, you know, when our import Albert Almanza sort of comes off the floor, you know, we need a little bit of extra floor spacing, but ultimately just someone that's willing to sacrifice for the team, you know, for the greater good. I mean, you know, Coach Ben always says it's a we thing, not a me thing. So I think that's really important to sort of settle down my game. You know, I think I can come in and have an impact on the defensive side of the ball, and then sort of anything I can give on the offensive side is a little bit of a bonus for us, you know?
I think your stat line probably speaks to that as well, sort of a good mix of rebounds, assists, a little bit of scoring and stuff as well. Is that where you see yourself, just sort of filling those gaps across the board, so to speak, and giving whatever the team needs?
We didn't particularly have a glue guy at the start of the year. And yeah, I feel like with my skill set and sort of my knowledge of the group, that's definitely something that I can provide going forward.
So Brett touched off it at the start. It was your second win of the year on the weekend. You've been sort of close in games and then have had, you know, lapses where it's kind of cost you, 5 minutes has cost you a chance in the game, but you were able to close it out on the weekend. What are the confidence levels like amongst the group that you can turn this around and potentially, your 3 wins out at the moment, potentially push for that last spot in the top eight?
That's a really, really fair question. That's something that we speak about internally almost every single week. You know, we were really confident coming in. You know, probably didn't get as many wins before the bye as we would have liked. I don't think that's a news flash to anyone. But yeah, the morale and the confidence within the group is really, really high. Again, you know, sort of to touch on what we said before, we've got a lot of guys that do a lot of things really well and sort of plug a lot of holes for us. It's just figuring out, you know, how do we play together, and coaching staff have sort of figured out a couple of lineups that work well. You know, we had an extra practice or two over the bye weekend. You know, we're sort of be able to go a little bit harder on the training track and address a few other issues. So, yeah, just those 5 or 10 minute lapses for us is what's really hurt us in just, you know, a couple of those games that you mentioned. So, yeah, we're really confident that we can push for that eight spot. That was the goal at the start of the year. We've been open, we've been honest about that. We're not where we'd like to be, but we're certainly on the right track.
It's not going to be too easy on the weekend. I see you guys have got the Rockingham Flames on Saturday night. They're currently sitting second on the ladder, of course, in quite the star-studded lineup.
You know, let's not mix any words. They're definitely a team that's going to be there towards the pointy end of the season. I think, you know, Ryan Petrick at the helm, you know, he's a very talented offensive coach, and sort of the way that they run their sets and the way they go about it. And the club's absolutely gone out and sort of tooled the team the way that he coaches. So that makes them very dangerous. But, you know, again, same thing that we sort of touched on earlier. We were really, really competitive in that game with them for 3 quarters. They hit a bunch of shots and they executed really, really well in the first quarter, and we sort of couldn't fight back from that hole. So, you know, we'll have a look at that film during the week, of course. You know, Marshall Nelson's always a seriously tough cover on and off the ball. The way that Devondre Walker's playing, you know, he'll be top five in the MVP race with, you know, no doubt at all. And, you know, you look at their 300-plus experience games of the Wildcats that they have there, and Tommy Jervis and Greg Hire, and, you know, so all their other guys, you know, yeah, Travis Dernans and the Beard brothers, and Ryan Godfrey, of course, has been around for a long time. So look, it'll be a really tough game, but I feel it'll be the same for us every week. We really feel like we're going to go in every single week. We're going to win. Yeah, we're going to put our best foot forward.
And thanks so much for your time on the NBL One West radio show, Carl. We really appreciate having a chat with us, and we wish you good luck on the weekend and for the rest of the season.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
2-0-1-5. Yeah, it's so good.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
We're now joined on the line at the NBL One West radio show by Lightning player Caitlin Jones after a big win over the Eastern Suns on the weekend. Welcome along, Caitlin.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, pleasure. And it's always good to chat after a big win. 107-62, headed up the hill there and got the chocolates. Talk us through that one.
Yeah, it was a really good win for us. We're finally kind of piecing our full squad together. We just got Ruth Davis in for our last game. So, yeah, we've got a bit better post presence at the moment, so it was a good win.
Looking at the box score, the bit that caught my eyes was 34 points in 23 minutes from Mia Jacobs. Talk a bit about that young lady's contribution and what she's been doing.
Yeah, Mia, she had a cracker on Saturday. She just about couldn't miss. I was hitting her on all her cuts, and she was getting a lot of backdoor looks as well. No, she played really well, and she's been a good contributor for us. She's had a couple of outs just with state teams and under-20s. They went away for a bit. But so that was her last game with us, unfortunately. So she's off to college now. But, no, we're pretty grateful for having her the last few rounds, definitely.
Well, that will be a big loss for you if she's heading over to college.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
You talked about Ruth Hamlin being that post presence. The last couple of weeks, obviously, it's sort of started to turn the needle a little bit for you. What is it about having her in the centre that's changed things for you? Because, you know, she only played 17 and a half minutes on the weekend due to a bit of foul trouble, but every time she was on the court, she would sort of seem like plays usually run through the guards, but every play was running through her.
Yeah, we definitely had a bit of a change of style of play with her coming in. We were having to kind of run the ball pretty quick and, you know, go get rebounds as guards in the first few rounds. But, no, it's been great. I feel like I can just kind of lob the ball up to her and she's always going to catch it for me and bank it in for me. So, no, she's been a great presence. And I think it's changing the way teams have to defend us as well. So it's as much as that she's getting more looks, we're getting more looks on the outside because they've got to worry about her in the key. So, no, it's been really good having her on.
And you've personally made the move from Warwick to Lakeside this year. What was the catalyst for that?
The catalyst, I have a very deep desire to win a championship. Obviously, there was a really talented squad at Warwick, and I loved playing with those girls. It was great fun. But yeah, Blake kind of approached me in the off season, and we had very similar kind of alignment with what we wanted to do and what we wanted to bring to the culture at Lakeside, and my own personal goals as well. Particularly, I really want to break into the WNBL if I can. That was probably the catalyst, was probably Blake hitting me up, I'd say, yeah.
Well, speaking of the WNBL, of course, you trained with the Perth Lynx in that sort of Lynx Academy type of role. Did that give you a little bit of a taste for it? And what did you take away the benefits of training with that, what was a very strong Lynx group, in fact, during the most recent season?
Yeah, I learnt so much over that 6 month period that we had. Unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of training over some of it when they were away in that bubble for a bit in Ballarat. But in the pre-season, when we were a bit light on really early, I got a lot of looks in those practices, and, you know, just being on court with, you know, the likes of like Sammy Whitcomb and Jackie Young and Darcy Galvin, I learnt so much from them, even just on leadership and the culture you got to bring to a team. And I think being in that environment really set me up well to have a good season this year, and I hope I can keep building on that.
Well, there's a family connection with the WNBL, of course, as well, isn't there? Tell us a bit about the history with your mum.
Yeah, so my mum, Julie Parker, she played for the inaugural Waste Rockets, which was the first team to sort of break into the WNBL for Perth. Yeah, to be able to follow in her footsteps and do the same thing has definitely been a dream of mine since I was a kid. But no, she was a good contributor on that team and absolutely loved that experience. So she's been pushing me towards it as well.
So a lot of people would sort of associate the Perth Breakers with being that first WNBL team. Elaborate a little more on the Waste Rockets and what they had to do, what their role was in the history of WNBL basketball in Perth.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure they had an article out about it in the West, just as the Lynx girls were kind of heading into finals this year. But basically, I'm pretty sure they had to play a bunch of away games on the East Coast. They took a team of 10, and they just faced off some Adelaide teams, Vic, New South Wales, and they just had to play a full away season and then come back and play a few games here. But most of it was on the road, and just had to battle out with those teams and get some wins on the board to be able to enter the league properly the following year.
Essentially, it was a show-me tour, a prove yourselves, prove that you're worth
a
place in our league.
It was a massive prove yourself for sure, yeah, definitely.
And how much of a support is Mum, I guess, on those WNBL dreams? And what does she tell you about the next steps for your career?
She's been probably my number one supporter my whole life and my junior career as well. You know, we love the good old lecture in the car after the game. Got a couple of those ones. But no, they were all for the benefit of me. And she's recently got back involved with coaching at Warwick. So she's got the 18 champs there at the moment. And she's just loving being back on the basketball scene. But she always tells me that we probably play quite a different style game. She tells me she was the rebounder, hustler kind of player. And, you know, I'm more of a point guard, doing a bit of different things on the court. But, no, she's always pushed me forward to go as far as I can. And I'm sure she'll continue to keep doing that.
Looking towards this weekend, you've got the Mandurah Magic, certainly some legends in that team. It's going to be a tough matchup for the Lightning.
Oh, 100%. We had a pretty good game against them. I think it was a couple of rounds back. We weren't quite at full strength, but it's just always a grind when we play Mandurah, I think. Particularly like Casey Milo, and they always have good post presence like Carly Bogue. So we're really looking forward to this one. We reckon it can be a really good game for us, and it'll be a lot of fun, particularly at home. We've had quite a way stretch of games, so we're happy to be back on our home court for it as well.
Always nice to get back home, that's for sure. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us, Caitlin. We do wish you the best for the rest of the season and whatever the WNBL may hold for you in the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks very much.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
We're winding things up here on the NBL One West radio show, but it's worth noticing with COVID kind of slowly starting to die down, it looks like the hopes and the planning is in place to get the national finals underway during September. Of course, that didn't get to go ahead last year for obvious reasons, but linking in with that is this whole wildcard series, which is due to happen during July here in Western Australia.
Yeah, so some people might have seen this pop up on their NBL One app. If you don't have it, go get it at the App Store or Google Play, NBL One app. You might have seen below the five conferences this NBL One wildcard pop up at the bottom. Now, I must admit, I didn't know before I'd been given this information what that was all about.
No, it was a bit confusing.
Yeah, my curiosity hadn't peaked enough to look too far into it. But now I've been given it, it's certainly incredibly important and super important for a bunch of clubs in the NBL One West, because what it is a wildcard entry. What's up for grabs is a wildcard entry to the national championship. So you're going to have the five champions from each conference, North, South, East, West, and Central. You're going to have the champions go to the national championships, and then that sixth spot in both the women's and men's is the wildcard spot. Now, how they're deciding it is the Centre of Excellence team from over East is travelling around to each conference and playing games against teams in each conference. Now, the teams that are getting the opportunity are the teams that were beaten preliminary finalists last year, or the three teams that made the preliminary final but didn't win the championship last year. The Redbacks have pulled out. So in the men's, it is Willerton, Lakeside, Rockingham, and Perry Lakes are the four teams that will go at it. And in the women's, it is East Perth, Warwick, Willerton, and Joondalup. So they're the four teams in each that will go at it. They get one game against the Centre of Excellence. Those dates are spread throughout July. And it is done on the winning points percentage. So the team across Australia that has the best winning points percentage in that game against the Centre of Excellence squads will qualify for the national championships, so long as they also make their conference finals. So that's probably the only problem for Lakeside and Willerton. In the men's, they're both sitting on the outside looking in at the moment, so that's potentially problematic for them. But it's a one and done. It's a true wild card setup. Any team across the country can win. 20 teams in the men's, 16 teams in the women's can get that one final spot that is up for grabs at the national championship. So it's super interesting.
It is.
I love the wild card format, that winner take all sort of stuff.
Some fantastic games coming up in July, and it kind of sounds a bit convoluted, but if we break it down to this, in the men, the Centre of Excellence has only lost one game so far, and they lost by 2 points. Mm-hmm. So as it stands at the moment, if any of the West Australian teams can beat the Centre of Excellence by more than 2 points, they're essentially in the driver's seat for that wild card.
Absolutely, and wouldn't that be a huge one? And I think probably the team that would be hungriest for it is the Perry Lakes Hawks. You know, they were the team that they should have gone to the national championships last year. They were the inaugural NBL One West champions in 2021. They will feel like this is their rightful place. And I reckon on Sunday, July the 10th, they will be up and about for that game against the Centre of Excellence.
And in the women's, the Centre of Excellence women have already had a loss to Bendigo, 91-72. So a little bit of harder work there. So you've got to get the girls by at least sort of 20-plus points to give yourself a chance. But you'd have to think the way the likes of the Willertons and Joondalups of the world have been playing, they may have a good crack at that too.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the next part I was going to touch on, is that there's two real quality outfits here in Perth. We're so lucky to have the Willerton Tigers and Joondalups Club Wolves in the women's competition going head-to-head, because they are, you know, they're almost WNBL quality teams, those two lineups. They have some outstanding players. There's some Australian Opals amongst those lineups, current and former. And look, they're going to probably have the best shot of those teams. Now, that's no disrespect to particularly Warwick, who, you know, if Stacey Barr gets
too
going,
shabby either.
If Stacey Barr gets going for Warwick on the night that they play on the 26th of July, a Tuesday night game for them, so a midweek one, if she can get going on that night, there's no reason that they can't absolutely blitz it and put in a huge performance. But yeah, it's that one and done. I love it. I love the idea that you can have one big night and you might be playing off for a national championship with the five other conference champions. So it's a really good setup. I'm loving what the NBL's doing in their NBL 1 competitions with all of these setups, and I think this is going to be an absolute winner.
Well, thank you once again to all of our guests who got involved in this week's edition of the NBL 1 West Radio Show. Marcus Wong, Carl Aylett, Caitlin Jones, and of course, thank you to you, Jordan, for joining me once again on another edition of the NBL 1 West.
Thank you, Brett. It was, good fun to be back here, and I'll give the chair up to Ben Pether again next week, and I'll be back smiling at you across the desk in a fortnight.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much. That's it this week on the NBL 1 West Radio Show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL 1 West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time, and check out the podcast exclusives for more.